Hi, welcome back to our final session, session six. In this session, we're going to explore the spiritual dimension of time travel, which means we're going to look deeper into that time river, that floating mind, that spiritual essence of yourself that senses time, that in a sense is time. And we're going to find out exactly what it is, what it's all about. Groucho Marx used to say, "Time flies like an arrow, but fruit flies like a banana." Like the use of the words "flies like," which could mean different things, almost like parallel meanings, we're going to find out that our sense of time can also have parallel meanings, and we often tend to only look at the objective sense of what time means and tend to not consider the internal river of time, which is our essential essence, which is very difficult to even explain to people. So that's why we need to do some processing, some little ways of getting to it, which will enable this river inside of you to show itself to you so that you can see what it is we're talking about when we say you can time travel. This is a do-it-yourself time travel, and this is where we're going to learn how to do that. Now, I've already given you some hints into how it works, and here we're going to look at some, maybe even some practical applications of it all. But the hints I provided for you have to do with this quantum physical thing we call focusing and unfocusing or defocusing. Remember the very first process we did, we talked about allowing yourself to go to that place where there was no focusing going on. You were just floating, and then I had you focus on first wiggling your finger and then moving your hand back and forth and really concentrating on focusing and then letting that all go. Well, that is very much what is called a yogic practice. And it's one which, if you watch yogi practitioners in their practice doing, you will see that indeed they have to do something like that. They first go into a pose, a strong focus, and then they have to let that go as they readjust and go into another space, and then they move back into the process itself, and they're able to go a little bit further, stretch a little further, make their posture a little more in line with what is truly the practice that is designed or figured out by the practitioners of yoga over countless centuries. So focusing and defocusing is an important part, and it's an important part of understanding how we get in touch with this river of time. Okay, so let's get right into it. Let's see what it is we're doing when we're practicing this focusing, defocusing. This is what I would call the spiritual secret of time travel. Now, when we try to talk about spirituality, immediately people start to put their own religion as a filter through which anything I explain about spirituality must pass. And if something I say doesn't quite fit their filter, people tend to block it out because according to the religious authorities, who they accept as being the authority of what is God and what is spirituality, these things may seem either blasphemous or they may seem crazy or they may seem anti. They're not. Everything I'm speaking to now, everything I'm talking about now, is in no violation of any religious belief you presently have. In fact, if anything, it should enhance your practice of religion by giving you a closer sense or presence of what it means to be in God presence or spiritual truth or whatever that means. Because that's really what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to destroy your religious beliefs at all. I'm trying to enhance your spirituality. And that can be done regardless of what you presently believe is the the faith that you feel is the only faith that is. I mean, you may be a Christian, you may be a Protestant, a Catholic, you may even be a Methodist, I don't know, or you can possibly be a Jew. You may be a Reformed Jew or a Conservative Jew or an Orthodox Jew, or you may be a follower of Islam. And there must be many different sects of Islam or different followings of Islam, whether you're a Muslim or whether you're a Sufi, or maybe you're not a follower of any. Maybe you're a Buddhist. It doesn't really matter what you believe. What I'm speaking to now will help with that. So please don't get into the trap, your own trap, of thinking, I can't listen to this because it doesn't fit what my spiritual teachers have taught me. I've done many, many presentations before many different spiritual orders. I've spoken to Islamic groups. I've spoken to Jewish groups. I've spoken to Christian groups. I've even spoken to theoretical Lutherans. And nothing that I've ever said or will say has in any way defeated or gone against the grain of what these people currently believe. I've also spoken to Unity Church for quite often, because Unity people really seem to like this type of approach that I take. So I invite you to consider these ideas and not to just simply dismiss them on the grounds that it seems to be against your particular religion. So, we're going to be looking at such things as spiritual truth, the mind of God. I may use terms like the true message of spirituality, so on. Please accept these things and don't attach any egoic concern to them. I've been around this planet for something like more than 70 years now, and I believe that I've made some discoveries. I'm not saying I know all the answers. I certainly don't. But I think I see some things that may be helpful to us if we just can play with these ideas a little bit and let them integrate into our spiritual nature. The key element, the key process that needs to be looked at is this thing that has been labeled by Freud the ego, das Ich in German. The ego, what is it? We have to be able to look at it as something that we all have, even if we don't believe we have, or some of us use the term in a metaphorical sense. We say if a person is acting in a brutish way or acting in a way where he's constantly defending himself in some way, we say he's acting egoically. Well, there's some element of truth to this. The ego is a surface that protects this river. And because it protects this river, this inner spiritual river of time, if you will, because it protects it, it encloses it like a closed surface. And because it acts like a closed surface, what it does is it lets things in through the surface, which then are considered in the river, and then it reflects them back. So there's a constant bouncing of information. Information coming in, information which is within, bouncing and reflecting in this enclosed surface, which is called the ego. Why is the ego there? The ego has been designed to do essentially one function, which is to protect the individual. So the ego and individuality are intimately tied together. Nature has been very prodigious in creating individuality. It's a very important part, and there's a reason for it. And we're going to talk more as we get into that. Yet at the same time, what I'm saying to you is that unless we can learn to look outside of this enclosure we call the ego, unless we can learn in some way to control it, we get trapped within our individuality and begin to think of ourselves as only individuality, and we lose sight that the river of time, which is within us, within each of us, is actually the same river in all of us. It's that river of consciousness, of time, the mind of God. It has many different metaphorical ways of talking about it, but nevertheless, it is the same basic thing.